24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. Keep it locked. You know how sometimes things line up? Coincidences? Since we've been up here, they've been happening more and more. It's like there's this black cloud hanging over us.
There's a family in our driveway.
Who is that?
Uh-oh. Run.
What are you people?
It's us.
Rated R.
VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Magazine, where we interview extraordinary entrepreneurs that are moving and shaking in the world that we live in. I'm your host today, Christy Rutherford, and I have the wonderful and magnificent opportunity to interview Mr. Benny Randall, who is the owner of this platform. This show can also be listened to on VashaniRadio.com. Mr. Randall, if you don't know who he is a business mogul, radio station owner, real estate investor, lifestyle entrepreneur. He has his own clothing line, shoes, ties, perfume. I can go on and on and on. So let's go ahead and get to it. Welcome, Mr. Randall.
Thank you, Christy, for inviting me on Bashani Magazine. I appreciate you. How are you today?
So let's go ahead and jump into it, Mr. Randall. I really want to talk about the whackness that we have going on in these streets with everybody is an expert, everybody's a coach, everybody is performing at the highest levels and making millions of dollars. What do you have to say about that on with regards to who do we listen to? Who's telling the truth and who's just lying?
What a way to start off an interview there, boy, I tell you. It's very simple, Christy. Are they doing what you want to do? And it's very simple to find out if they're doing what you want to do. You know what I mean? Are they making the wins that you want in your life and your lifestyle? Here's what I believe, Christy. I believe everybody has something to offer. What the value of that is, that's to be determined. But I believe everybody has something to offer. Now, when it gets to the higher levels of whether what they have to offer can add value to your life, well, that's where your discretionary strategy and thinking comes in. You should not be going to somebody who plays golf on a regular trying to be a karate expert. You should not be going to a car salesman when you really want to fly planes. So it's very simple. Are they doing what you want to do, and are they getting the results that you want? Because if they're starving, it's very hard to believe that they can feed you. Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to touch on results, because there are a lot of people who are getting certification out of a crackdown book, where somebody can become a master financial expert with a certification from their church, or they get these online certifications. So you yourself don't have any paper certifications per se, other than that money that you're getting and the results that you have. So talk about the difference between paper certifications and results.
Right. The only certification people need is result certification. Okay. I often hear people say, I have a coaching certification. And I always ask them, from who? Because there is no regulatory agency that oversees all coaches or experts per se. So that paper is only as good as the individual that's given it to you. And the only value that paper holds is what that individual wanted to hold, or what they make you believe that it holds. Because you cannot take that certification and take it to, let's say, to the bank and say, I'd like to cash this in. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You know what I mean? And really, you have to think about this when people say, I'm a certified coach. And I usually ask you, what are you certified in? You know what I mean? And how did you get certified? And what does that actually mean? You know what I mean? And they usually don't have an answer. You know what I mean? It's usually people who are thinking they're certified or want to be certified. They're just looking for some type of validation of why they're doing what they're doing. All right. And the only validation most people need, honestly, is your results. You know what I mean? Have you created the lifestyle that you want? Have you created the results that you want? So the only certification you really should have is a result certification. All this other stuff is just it is what it is. It was ironically, I heard I think it was Dave Anderson say the other day, he said that there's approximately 300,000 MBAs who claim that they're only MBA graduates who claim that their main source of income is being a bartender. And the reason why he brought that point up was very, very simple. They had all of these degrees, but they had no paper to back it up. They had no results of income to back it up. Now, don't get it wrong here, ladies and gentlemen, that, education isn't important. That's not what I'm saying. But, there's got to be the right education for you, whatever that means to you. But what I've learned in this world of business, in investing and entrepreneurship, is very simple. Experience is the best education you can ever get. That's why you notice when you do go to a job, the biggest section is your experience. You know what I mean? They got a little section that say what school you went to and what degrees you got. Okay, now that you got all of that, what experience you have? And think about it. If you don't have experience, then and they want to hire you, they're going to hire you at an entry level type form. You understand what I'm saying? So they're going to match your experience, not necessarily your education. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's funny because when we talk about certifications, you know, one, I got more degrees than a thermometer. However, comma. I get degrees because I'm a nerd. But when I think about the coaching certification, I heard about coaching and I said, oh my God, that's what I do. Like, so coaching, I was already doing it. So I got a piece of paper to quote unquote certify what I was. So a lot of times people get these coaching certifications because they want to build a career off of a weekend course, but they're not teaching their expertise.
Right.
So when you talked about experience is the best education and the right education for you. So I like to ask the question, why do you want to be a coach? And what can you teach me that I don't already know? As opposed to just say, oh, I'm impressed because this person has certification. They can be crazy in a box of rocks.
You got that right. You ain't never lied on that one. He never. I think it's a mental. Some people are so used to formal education that they don't think out the box, which probably explains why I end up teaching a lot of people who have more degrees than I've ever had in my life. I mean, I coach doctors, lawyers, scientists, police, a few celebrities. I even coach a neurosurgeon. You know what I mean? And it's incredible because their mindset was set for the formal education they have, but the common sense and experience part of it, they were lacking. So they lack that ability to communicate and sell themselves. And here's what I want to think, you know, talk about, if you don't mind, Christy, and that is the art of selling. People say, well, I don't like to sell and I'm not a salesperson. Well, that's a lie. Everybody sells. You're selling. Every moment you meet someone new that you don't know, you're selling yourself in some fashion or form, whether it's as simple as selling yourself as to be a nice person, whether it's as simple as selling yourself to be that or this, you know, or a nasty person, whatever it is, you are selling. So if you're selling, why not master the art of selling yourself? And then once you're able to sell yourself, you'll be able to sell your ideas. You'll be able to sell your influence. You'll be able to sell any and everything that's around you. Because remember, nothing exists around you that we use unless somebody had to sell you the idea that it was worthy of its use in adding value to your life. Think about this. Watches and telephones. Let's take telephones for a second. Have been around forever, you know what I mean? But Apple convinced everybody that their phone needed to be smarter. They convinced everybody that a phone that simply dials a number and you talk to them was not smart enough for your lifestyle. And in return of them convincing and selling that idea, not only to everyone they came across, but to the entire global spectrum of people, it made them billions, all right? Because they sold an idea that your phone technically was dumb if it wasn't smart. You know what I mean? Go figure. Everything, you know, someone taught me long time ago, Christy, and this is what was very powerful. I'm going to say one of my coach taught me. He said that if you ever want to sell something, you have to either add something to it or take something away from it. Let's take water. Water should be free, but people sell it. What do? They'll add something to it. Vitamin water. We have added vitamins. We have added electrolytes. We have added whatever we added to it. You know what I mean? Or our filtered water. We have taken out all the bad stuff that exists in this water, and we've made it clean for you. So you should buy this. You understand what I'm saying? Technically, they are all selling water. They just added something to it or took something away, which is the basics of anything that operates in this world today, Christy. And that is, you are selling, but what is your value? What do you sell that can help others, if that makes sense?
It does. So let's shift. I did want to talk about initially, so I thank you for your time initially when we talked about who do you listen to, because there are so many people who invest in others to show them the way as an entrepreneur, and when they fail, they get brokenhearted and disappointed, and they give up on their dreams so easily. So thank you for sharing that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Besides listening to the wrong person in the beginning, what's one of the biggest mistakes that early entrepreneurs make?
Entrepreneurs, they don't know where they're going. They have no direction. You know, even when you get in a car and you asks Google Maps or whatever, the first thing it asks is, what is your destination? And even if you don't have the exact coordinates, right, it asks for you, you know, put in what you know and we'll give you some suggestions. Because the whole point it is, the GPS is trying to get your exact coordinates where you would like to go so that they can devise a plan and a strategy. Most people don't turn on their GPS. Most people just start walking. And hopefully they see where they want to go. They see something that's nice and shiny. Maybe this is where I wanted to go. So then they stop there for a little while. And once they get into this nice shiny shop, they realize this ain't where I really want to be. So then they get out and they start walking down the street a little bit more. They see something else that's shiny. And this time, the store has blinking lights and a dancing Santa Claus outside. Whoa, maybe this is where I want to be. So they go in there and then they stay for a little while and they realize this is not where they want to go. See, the strategy here is this. If you don't know where you want to go, how in the world are you going to get there? Okay. And on top of that, to add to that is that those who don't know where they want to go don't know who the right person to lead them. So as they're going from these stores, they look outside and somebody bumps into them and they say, where are you going? You say, well, I'm going to the store. Oh, I've been to that store many, many times. Let me tell you about this store and how you can get the most from this store. Just pay me, blase, blase. They listen to this person and come to find out that this person was an employee of the store, not necessarily a former employee of the store, but not necessarily a store owner. So they don't really know the value. They just know the ins and the outs of things that they learned while they was in the presence of employment. To break this down in layman terms is very simple. You have to have a map of where you want to go, and you have to have an exact location. That comes with knowing the vision, writing down the vision, staying focused on the vision, and executing the vision. Christy, people's biggest issues, they don't get started. They'll talk all that talk, and then next thing you know, it's 1 year later, and they're still talking all that talk. You know what I mean? So they end up stationary. You know what I mean? Period. And on top of that, I know I talk a lot, so you can interrupt me when you need to. On top of that, Christy, is this. Think about this. I wrote in my book, The Motivation Factor, if you hang with 9 broke people, you're going to be the 10th. You have to be very careful of your circle, who's around in your circle. I don't care how long you've been friends. I don't care how long you come across. That doesn't mean God has put that person to have the same success you have. It doesn't happen that way. Your journey is your journey. That's why when you go, you will go alone unless you're in some mass tragedy. You know what I mean? But most of the time you will go alone. So that should tell you something. If you came alone and you're going to go alone, don't be afraid to walk alone. You see what I'm saying? Some people hold themselves back, Christy, because they are waiting for their friends to catch up. Or they're hoping, you know, you can't keep looking to the 5 closest people to you and all 5 of them are struggling, and somehow you believe that it's okay to ride with them. See, you can love somebody from a distance. It don't mean you gotta ride with them. So a lot of people end up holding themselves back because they keep trying to bring, as we like to say, the hood with them. You know, and the hood could be anybody's hood, anybody's neighbor. All right. They keep trying to wait on their friends to come with them, because if you think about it, most people who become successful, yes, once you become successful, you have the opportunity to put people that you know to work and give them an opportunity, but that doesn't mean they will be a superstar. And if I can, just for a second, I heard Snoop Dogg say one time is that he did his best to bring all his boys up, and he came to the notion, very simple, that I cannot make them superstars. They have to do it themselves. He say, I appeared on their songs. I gave them a job to work with me. I introduced them to the right people. I introduced them and I put them in the right studios. I allowed them to come to the right shows. And yet and still, they didn't become a superstar. And he say, that's when I realized that I can't make them a superstar regardless of who I am, because they have to do that part. I can just give them an opportunity. But if they don't execute at the level that I executed to get here, they can't possibly have what I have. Hot damn. Chrissy, are you there? Or did you just walk away somewhere?
I love it. James Allen said in 1909 that a strong man cannot help a weaker unless that weaker man wants to be helped. And even then, the weaker man has to put forth his own effort.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So vision is the biggest piece. So people are going in circles, and I did it. The first 3 years of my business. So I was telling somebody this morning, the problem with brilliant people is brilliant people can do 15 things. So we can get scatterbrained and we're chasing the next shiny object. And then you get mad at the person who's not as brilliant because they focus on that one thing. They can do one thing really good, uh-huh, and then they surpass the people who can do 15 things really good. So talk to us about that difference.
You got to be able to focus on what it is you do well. I got a staff of people, right? And everybody that works for me is good in what they do. They're an expert in what they do. You know what I mean? Tracy, she is an expert of organization, which I am not, but she can organize things and people and events, you know, with a civil whip, you know what I mean? But she focuses just on doing that things. Kevin, my engineer, he can edit like with his eyes closed. You know what I mean? Even though I taught him a lot of the stuff he knows, but he's so passionate. He's went beyond what I know to do in this editing process. So what I found out is that, you know, the difference with me, I have 0 degrees. Okay. So it made me, I didn't have an options to go here or there. I had to do what I do, and I had to do it the best I could, and I had to get results to make it work, you know, because I didn't have anything on paper to say, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. You know what I mean? So I had to have those experiences that brought me to that level. And a lot of times people get caught up, you know, in, you know, as I said earlier, the shiny things of life. You see what I'm saying? And you got to focus on one thing at one time and then expand out. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Jamie Foxx is a great example of that. You know, people don't know, you know, he wanted to become a singer. You know what I mean? But he realized that for some reason it wasn't clicking. So, but he realized he had a natural knack for comedy, though. You see what I'm saying? Even though he really wanted to be a singer. So he had to become an expert at what he did so it can open doors so people can respect. Because you remember, we've had several comedians that tried to become a singer, and then quite kind of work out. I think Eddie Murphy did. You know, with party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Let me tell you. I'm sorry, Eddie. It's just an example.
That's one of my favorite songs. You go
ahead with your bad self. But the point is, it never really crossed. People didn't take him seriously because he was so funny in what he does that he got kind of pigeonholed into that example. But it's no problem with being able to do many things. You just can't do many things at one time. You take one idea, like you said, of your 15, you work on it, you bang it out, then you delegate it, then you go to the next one. You work on it, you bang it out, you air it out, then you delegate it, then you go to number 3, etc., etc. It's the process of getting it up and running and then allowing somebody else to take over the daily operations. That's what I really do with my companies. When I first begin a company, I'm always there. I get it up. I get it running. I get it operating smoothly. Then I put somebody in place to continue the daily operations of that vision so that I can turn my attention somewhere else. It's the only way I get to travel and do all the things, because I have a powerful team. You know what I mean? And they're so good at what they do. They make me look good. They make me look like I'm just killing it all over the place. But what it is, I have strategically put people in place to do the things that I need to get done for each and every one of my companies. Make sense?
It does. And one of the things you just said, the process, and you're there to get it up and running. So I thought, Mr. Randall, that I would get rich in 2 months. I promise you, I'm talking about rich. Do you hear me? Because my name is Christy Rutherford, and Christy Rutherford wins until I lost, and then I lost, and I lost again. So the first part is two-part question. First, I want to talk about fast success. And how people try to guarantee you that and the illusion of fast success. And then the second part, I want to talk about the power of going broke. Let's talk about fast success first. What did you have to say to people who say, hey, I want to be rich in 2 months? What would you have said to me 7 years ago?
You go play the lotto and tell me how that worked out for you. Because ain't nobody going to be rich. And, you know, when you see people's success, a lot of times you're seeing many, many years before they've gotten to that point. See, the problem with where we're at in social media nowadays, that it's very easy to only show the good things and never really show the bad things. It's so easy to be flashy and flossy without actually showing the hard work that it takes. So when people tell you in 30 days you're going to be a millionaire, well, let me know how that worked out for you if you ain't rob a bank. You know what I mean? Or if, you know, you didn't just sign away your rights to something that you've been working on for the last 10 years. Yes, then you possible there's some fast money there, but that's not fast success. I don't believe there's no such thing as fast success. I believe there is fast hypeness. You know, in other words, the illusion of fast success. But anything that's worth happening, having, is being built over a long, long period of time. Your second question was the power broke. Child, please. I know. I was so broke, they had two B's on my name. I was broke. Okay? It wasn't even B-R-O-K-E. It was just B-B-O-K-E. You know what I mean? See, people don't see the process. When I came to New York, I had like $500. I lived in a room in an attic. I had to share the bathroom with 8 people I did not know who all rented rooms in this three-family home. Well, it wasn't a three-family home because I lived in the attic, so technically they wasn't supposed to rent that out. But we ain't going to say nothing about that because I needed a place to stay. The things I went through, I probably for like a year or two, I ate like 4 chicken wings and french fries from $2, you know, right off Nostrand Avenue, because it was the cheapest thing I could afford at the time. That's probably why I'm a vegetarian at this time. Let me tell you something, Christy. I was so broke that the house I was in was so old that I was sitting on the toilet and the floor rotted out and fell out while I'm still on the toilet. You hear me?
Wow.
You know what I mean? And if it was my time to go, I probably wouldn't be here having this conversation, because the toilet was right over the kitchen area, which was on the first floor, which means had the part that was holding the toilet up, because I literally could see the kitchen from the big hole. Like, I was like sitting on an island, like one of those cartoons. You know what I mean? Pants down and the whole shebang. Go picture. It wasn't pretty. But
that was Jesus holding you up. That was Jesus' hands, baby. That was Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can tell you that right there.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, but I look down and I'm on this toilet and I look down and I could see the stove and I could see the sink. And I said to myself, I would have fell from the second floor to the first floor on a toilet on top of the stove. Child, please, you can't tell me Jesus wasn't there. You can tell me God, like you just said, wasn't holding that up. So I got to experience what true brokenness is. I had to live in my car for a while because I didn't have a place to stay. And that's why I try to tell people about the reality of who I am and why I'm so focused. And it's not that I'm independent, it's that I realized that everything that you really gonna accomplish is, it's a lonely road to success. And when you get here, it's even more lonelier. You know what I mean? But you know, to get something, you have to give something. And what that was what happens. A lot of people scared to be alone. That's why they'll never get success, because they just feel like, you know, if I, my peoples can't go with me, I ain't going. But your people might be the same people that are holding you back. And let me extend on this while we right here, Christy. You know, internet has, you know, Facebook, and all of these have diluted this thing that we call friend. You know what I mean? You know, I people will friend request you per se, right? And then they'll try to sell you their house and home. You don't even know my middle name. You see what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden they have diluted this world. And then people you get to know on the internet who had no dealings with you in your real human life. You know what I mean? And then they take it personal when things don't operate out their way. Okay. You know who how I find out who my friends are, Christy. One, when I was sleeping in my car, I know who called. And I know who I called, and I know who gave me that peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I can eat in the car, okay? I know who helped me get a couple of dollars so I can join the gym just so I can have a place to shower. You know what I mean? These I called my friends, because when they had nothing to gain, they were there. You know what I'm saying? And trust me, I can count them on one hand. Trust me when I tell you that. Number two. When my sister was murdered, I know who comforted me. I know who was there. When my brother was murdered, I know who was there. I know who comforted me. You know, when my other brother died, I know who was there. I know who comforted me. So don't just because you met me on the internet all of a sudden think we down. No, we have an associates and we have a respectful relationship. But people have, you know, the internet has diluted what a real friend is. A real friend is that person. When I was sleeping in that car, would have came and said, hey, you can sleep on my floor. At least you don't have to sleep in the car. Okay? You don't have that. You see what I'm saying? People think because I hit like on something you said, or because I left an emoji, or because we have talked a couple times, that all of a sudden we're the best friends in forever. That, you know, when I was starving, where were you? You see what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. That it becomes a lonely road because people got it all misconstrued. People need people, but at least you got to be honest with yourself of that relationship that you're in. And we need relationships. They're very, very powerful. But I've learned that the key is you got to have the right relationship. Every relationship is not the right relationship, if that makes sense.
It does. And one of the things that J.K. Rowling said, she said, adversity and rock bottom taught me who my real friends were, and that's greater than any award that I've ever gotten.
Amen. I agree. Totally agree. You know what I mean? I totally agree, because you're talking to a man who, in his lifetime, I've lost my entire family with the exception of my mom. I know who was at those funerals. I know who took the time out, you know, to send me a card. I know who, after they were gone, who said, you know what? I know you don't have a family. This before I had kids and stuff like that. I know your family is, you know, is not here. You know, we're having a celebration. Would you like to come over? I know who did those things. And trust me, I can count them on one hand. So I agree with her 110%. You know, so people a lot of times will say, oh, you know, Benny is arrogant and he's this or whatever. No, they're just intimidated because I won't play by their rules. You see what I'm saying? You can't make me play by your rules because I play by my own rules. That's why I'm an entrepreneur. All right, let me start preaching here.
No, I love it. I was gonna go down. I'm gonna come back to that. So for the people, because people don't want to hear your challenges. They only want to see your money and celebrate and somehow have you buy them something, right? But when you start talking about your challenges and how tough it was, you know, their eyes start rolling in the back of their head and they start glazing over. So it's almost the true challenges of being an entrepreneur, a highly successful person. To be as successful as you are, you had to have dug a hole that was just as deep on the other side.
Amen.
In order to
Amen.
Catapult that high up. So talk to the listeners about when people say, oh, I sure wish I had your lifestyle, or I sure wish I had your life. And I know what one of the things that TDJ say, be careful what you ask for, because you can survive the life that I have to be able to have what I have right now. So talk to the listeners about the quote-unquote overnight success or wanting the payoff without going through the process.
That is an excellent question, and nobody really asked me that before except one person in a conference I was doing, and I'm going to say it this way. They said, man, I really would like to have your life and your lifestyle. I said, really? I said, let me break it down for you. Do you have a sister? And the person said, yes. I said, do you have brothers? They said, yes. And I said, do you have a father? They said, yes. I said, do you have kids? She said, no, but, you know, I want to have kids. I said, cool. All right. So in order to have my lifestyle, all of them would have to pass away. You willing to give that up? And it was just silence. I said, my brother was murdered at age 25. My sister was murdered at age 25. My firstborn child was born in my arms, died. My father died. You see what I'm saying? So all my immediate family has gone. So in order to be in my lifestyle, you have to take my journey that I've already taken. Are you willing to do that? And she said, no. I say, that's right. And that doesn't make you any less of a person. What it says is that my journey was my journey. You're going to have your journey, what your journey is. But I can tell you this, those who win incredibly also have to give up something incredible. I'm not saying everybody has to lose everybody in their life, but you know, do you know how it feels? You know, this is why I'm so protective of the people that are in my close, very close circle. You know what I mean? And I don't expose them to those who are not in that close circle, is because they don't recognize the magnitude of what it is not to be able to go to the holidays and visit your family because they're all gone. You understand? And I'm a young man, you know what I mean? To have all of them be passed away. You see what I'm saying? So when some of you know, the beautiful thing is now though, you know, God giveth and God taketh away. You know what I mean? So, you know, I have a beautiful son. He's 14. I have a beautiful daughter who's 12. That is my family. You know what I mean? And they make all the other things easier to deal with their happiness, with their love towards me. So for those people who always say, I wish I had your lifestyle. Yeah, but to have my lifestyle, you would have to take my journey. And I don't think many of them want to take the journey. So the point I was trying to bring home, I think the Bible says something to don't convet your neighbors or whatever. I forgot. I don't know how it is, but I'm not a scripture.
Yeah, don't covet your neighbors.
Covet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What they have.
Right. And what they have, because you don't know their journey. You don't mm-hmm. know my journey. You're just judging me from the outside. You know what I mean? People say, oh, you show this and you show that. You know why? Because I want to let people know what's possible. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I can tell you what, don't nobody want to hear your drama. Don't nobody want to see your shoes with got a hole in it and think somehow that's going to inspire them to want some shoes with holes in them. Don't nobody want to see, you know, I mean, if you gained weight or you didn't gain weight. I always tell people, I can always tell the caliber of a person with how they take care of themselves. You know what I mean? And you know, this might offend some people, but it is what it is. But if you can't take care your regular hygiene, I don't see how you're going to be able to help me do anything. You see what I'm saying? If you can't take care the way you look, you know what I mean? And I ain't talking about physical. I ain't talking about like how pretty or how ugly you are. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know, if you looked in that mirror and you know some changes need to be made, but yet you're trying to tell me what I need to do. You need to get that thing together first before you come holler at me. That's the point I'm trying to make. You got to take care of your whole house and your whole home before you can come here preaching to me about me taking care of my house and my home. So people say, you know, well, you know, I don't have to dress up. A lot of people don't. I dress up because you know why? I was poor for so long that I appreciate the opportunity that I can not only afford clothes, but clothes that I make. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to shine, baby. I'm not going to let anybody put my light out because they feel some way about their light. Hallelujah.
Oh, I agree. One of the things that Dr. Miles Monroe talked about was discipline. He said purpose disciplines your action. It disciplines your time. It disciplines your speech. It disciplines your circle. So when you talked about how people call you arrogant, the other day I was in this store. You would appreciate this because you know I'm a little gangster. And I saw this guy from my hometown, and he said something. And I said, how are you? He said, oh, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not going to complain. I said, well, good, because I want to hear it. He said, well, maybe I'll let you motivate me later. I said, you ain't paying me, so I'm not talking to you. I didn't understand, right? Like, we are like,
I like how you said, maybe he'll let you motivate him, huh? All
right. What an attitude. Maybe I'll let you motivate me later. I said, you ain't paying me, so please know I'm not talking to you. That's first of all. Don't get it twisted. And him and his wife acted like I offended them, which, you know, it is what it is, but it's not that I'm arrogant. I'm very disciplined about. And you taught me this about being you said, Chrissy, you're an infopreneur. You sell information. And why would anybody pay you if you walk around giving it away for free? So on the infopreneur piece, you're not arrogant. You're just very selective on how you value your time, how you value your energy, and how you value what you say. So can you expand on that?
Christy, how many commercials have you seen in the hood for Bentleys? Just a quick question.
How many commercials have I seen in the hood?
Yeah, for Bentleys. Just in oh, any none. Hood, in any neighborhood.
Oh,
just,
no, none.
You ain't seen that, right? But yet on MTV, everybody got a Bentley. Right? How many flyers and billboards you see in certain neighborhoods? Well, there are a lot of neighborhoods of Rolexes, but everybody got one. You see what I'm saying? So the point being, when you know your value, people will find you. When you don't know your value, you have to end up trying to sell them. You see what I'm saying? There's a quality in what you do. I always tell people that the reason why you don't see me struggling with clients because I can walk away from money. You see what I'm saying? I can get up and I can walk away from it because I'm not starving. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they need every penny. So, you know, they're always on discounts. You see them, everything you do. But when you're quality, you don't have to discount yourself. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the luxury, I'm just using this as an example, luxury brands, you know, when you go into a luxury store, you notice they don't have like a big old signs about what their prices and sale. You notice they don't have that because their expectation is when you walk into this store, you already know you're going to pay a lot for it. Right. And a lot of times they don't even put the price on it because they want you to have a conversation to give them the opportunity to close that deal. A lot of times people sell themselves short because they don't truly believe in their own value. So therefore, they are not charging what they're supposed to charge. And they believe, now don't get it wrong. When you give, you do receive. Don't get it twisted. You see what I'm saying? But think about all the businesses around you. If they gave everything free, how would they make money? And anybody that tell you business is not about profit, they're probably broke or they're probably out of business. Every business is about creating a profit, right? Even nonprofits are about creating a profit, because I know a lot of people work for nonprofits that have humongous six-figure salaries in this nonprofit. You see what I'm saying? So don't get it twisted when people tell you it's not about the money or whatever. Money buys access, and that's access to any and everything, okay? But we put the value on money. All right. So those people will be like, oh, you know, it's all about the money. You don't want to serve people. No, you have been given a gift. That gift is to help you serve people, add value to their life. In return, you will be repaid and rewarded, you know, for that service you are giving. You know what I mean? People think they get so, you know, they'll be on the internet like, I'm not paying nobody to motivate me, and I'm not paying this person to do that. But you're going to pay in some way. You're going to pay for your intelligence, or you're going to pay for your ignorance. You know, even when people go to church, you know, you give your tithes. You see what I'm saying? Some of that money goes to keeping the church on point. But there is, you know, there's other things that has to be done there too. So the point I'm making is, even T.D. Jakes, he said, you know, they asked him on the Breakfast Club about how did he keep his business on one side and God's work on the other side. He said, because when I came into being a pastor, I already had a business. So I was already making money to do what I had to do. And I know the difference between, you say, that's why, you know, I sell books. That's why I create movies. That's why I create partnerships, because I got to live too. I'm going to do God's work, but I got to live too. And regardless of how many people is in that church, whether 40,000 or 30,000, it's still a business, is what he said. And this is one of the most successful pastors out there, who's saying that, you know, it's still a business. God's work is still a business, because you can't hand out food to people if you don't have some money to buy that food, right? You can't help the poor if you are poor. People get it confused with their mindset, because they're all around these other people who think so small, who think so tightly. You know what I mean? And they be like, oh, this is my homie. This is my best friend. All right. Well, one of y'all need to make it so the other ones can get brought up to at least a certain level. You see what I'm saying? If all of y'all are struggling, if not one of those five closest friends are winning at the level you want to win, you're in the wrong group. That don't mean you can't be friends with them. That simply means they can't help you get where you need to get, because they're trying to get there themselves. Hallelujah.
And if you can't help me get to where I need to be, you can't be my friend. I'm just saying. I got 24 hours in a day. Man. So one of the things that I was telling a group of young military officers last week was, you know, they're looking at me like, this lady is all about the money. I said, it's not about the money, but it is. It's not about the money, but it is. It's not, but it is. Don't get it twisted. I don't do what I do for money. I do because I love it and I have a gift for it. Now, I'm going to owe my value, thank you very much, Mr. Randall, because I need the money to serve in other places, to build the schools and the community centers. And the only way I can get the money to now serve on a greater scale is if I owe my value. And that's where people get it twisted, because we're taught to be meek and humble and be broke. But if you're broke, how are you going to help other broke people?
There it is.
So I want my money. I'm going to give you my gift. I'm going to owe my value. I want my money, though. But then I can go be a greater blessing to other people. So thank you for bringing that up.
There it is, Chris. And you see that. And see, people, and those who are intimidated by it, is usually the people who have a problem with you talking about money is usually people who don't have it. You see what I'm saying? Because they're intimidated by you saying it. Like, well, you always talk about money. Whatever, you talk about money. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to talk about money. Well, why do you wake up in the morning to go to your job? Money. You see what I'm saying? How you get that car? Money. How you make those payments? Money. How did you buy that home? Money. How'd you get those clothes? Money. You see where I'm going here? Your whole life is affected by money. So the key is, it's okay to have money long as money don't have you. That's the real key. Right. You see what I'm saying? Somebody's got to build the buildings. You know what I mean? And if we can, speaking of money, since we're getting close to that time, because I could feel it. I've been doing this for so many years that I think we got like 10 minutes left. Let me talk a little bit about investing, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I got my notes. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. All right. First and foremost, you know, many people are broke because they have a broke teachings and a broke mindset. You know, many people are told, go buy a home. That's an investment. A home is not an investment, ladies and gentlemen, unless it makes money for you. Think about this. If you bought your home at age 40 and you did it on a 30-year, you'll be 70 before it's paid off with all that and the interest. And now you'll probably be on retirement making little or no money. And a lot of times then you'll get those knocks on your doors. They want to do a reverse mortgage. You just spent the last 30 years paying it off. Now somebody want to reverse that at pennies on the dollar. So because basically they're banking on you going to die soon and the house going to be still here. You see what I'm saying? The smart way, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to investing, is everything that you do should have a revenue connection to it and a revenue stream. So instead of buying a single family home just for you and your family should not be done until you have at least 3 to 4 investment properties. Your first home should never be just a home for you and your family, because it takes money out of your pocket. Your first home should be an investment property, whether it's a duplex, whether it's a multi-level home. In New York, we have brownstones where you live on one floor and you can rent the other 4 floors out or the other 3 floors out. That is smart money investing. All right. Cars. Unless you're driving Uber or whatever, you should pay for your car cash, because you will save 20% on the amount of money that you spend for that same car that somebody's on the road with you who was able to pay cash, you know, for it. People say, well, you know, I don't have enough money to go buy a car cash. Well, be patient, strategize, take some of that money that you're spending on other things and put it away, and you will have that ability. You know, get a used car first while you're saving for the other one that you want to go and purchase. But you should never buy a car on a finance, because that's what it's called. And now they've even figured out longer ways for you to finance. You know what I mean? It used to be a 5-year. Now they got it almost up to 7 to 8 years. That car will lose 20% of its value the moment you drive it out on the lot. Most of these cars are not going to be any good in 8 to 9 to 10 years anyway, and you'll still be paying on it. You see why that makes no sense? All right. Pay yourself first. Most people don't pay themselves first. You see what I'm saying? At the minimum, you should pay yourself the first hour of every day you work. So if you work and you get paid $25 an hour and you work 5 days a week, you should be putting no less than $125 into an investment fund that you can dictate which investments you are going to be putting it into. All right. So if you did that on a regular basis, you know, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but if you took that $125 and you multiply that by 4, you know, in a month, you have a good wad of a little investment fund pot that you're creating. You multiply that by 6 months or a year. You know, the sad thing, Christy, most people, if you got a job that's making over $50,000 a year and you've been there 20 years, you've already made $1 million. You've grossed it. You just won't see it. Because what happens? The largest percentage of the amount of money that leaves a person's money that they have their income coming into is where they live. So we go back to why the home a single family home for just your family is a really bad investment. You know what I mean? Because yes, you're building a little equity on it. But here's what I can tell you. I've seen people be on a 30-year mortgage, pay their home perfectly for 28 years, run into some troubles, lose their job, got laid off, and in 2 years lose that home that they just paid 28 years for. You understand what I'm saying? Because one thing ain't gonna stop is your taxes ain't gonna stop. All the things of that home, and that bank has a lien on that home, and that bank will take that home and sell it to somebody else and start the process all back over again.
They
want their money. And you'd be like, hold up, but you know, I've been doing it for 28 years. Their answer would be, but you ain't did it this year. And you ain't did these last 2 years, so, you know, I can't really help you. So what does that say for that beautiful relationship you thought you had with your bank? You're going to have a beautiful relationship as long as you keep paying their money. So don't get it twisted that somehow they're your homies, your friends, your whatever. They are a business, and business makes profit.
Absolutely. So as we're wrapping up, Mr. Randall, this has been amazing, and I have a lot of notes, but I want to ask you about the Dominate Tour. So what's the Dominate Tour? Why are you doing it, and where will you be?
Oh, thank you. Awesome, awesome question. The Dominate Tour, the beauty of the Dominate Tour is the message I'm sending around is dominate in whatever you do in your industry. You know, you can wake up in the morning, you can be okay, or you can dominate. You know what I mean? I think Kevin Hart has taught a lot of comments about how to dominate because he's been in more big stadiums. You know, usually people are used to comics being in, you know, your local comedy center and some of that, but he's doing major stadiums that hold 20 and 30,000 people. He's dominate. People can say whatever they want about it, but if you can put those butts in the seats, all business cares about is you're making money. You see what I'm saying? And that's what the whole concept of the Dominate Tour is. So 20 city tour. And then I'm going to end with a big festivity in April when we're in Dubai at the Millionaire Retreat. And so what I've learned, you know, we've been to Miami, we've been to Baltimore, we've been to Fort Lauderdale, we've been to D.C., we've been to San Francisco, and the list just goes on. And we're hitting very strategic markets where we have the most support, you know, and we're making these events, you know, intimate and personal so that we can get right up in their face. My whole goal of this whole Dominate Tour is, you know, whatever you do, I don't care if you're the best sanitation worker, you dominate in that industry. You're the best speaker, you dominate in that industry. You know what I mean? If you learn to dominate in what you do, can't nobody touch you. Can't nobody tell you what to do. And you will stand out no matter what. Yes, and yes, you're going to get a lot of feedback and pushback from people that say, oh, you are this or that. Do you dominate? Because if you're not dominating, that means you're following the crowd. And you can't possibly stand out following the same crowd that everybody else is following. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Mr. Randall, this has been incredible. I hope that the listeners have enjoyed it. And again, they can get this on BashaniRadio.com. Do you have any closing thoughts for the listeners, sir?
You have to really look in your Rolodex, look in your surroundings, and look at the people that you're spending the most time with. There is nothing wrong with loving people from a distance. But if God has something for you, that's probably your blessing and not necessarily their blessing. You know, having kids, Christy, taught me a very important thing. Here's one thing it taught me. One, it taught me how to give without expecting anything back. That was the most powerful lesson I think I experienced having kids. Also, one thing my kids taught me, Christy, is that they are, as they've gotten older, you know, before when they were younger and you're sitting around, you're playing with them and, you know, you're the everything. But now that they don't got in these teenage years, they've shown me that They got their own thoughts. They got their own personalities. They got their own journey. And it may not be the journey you want them to have, but it is their journey. You see what I'm saying? And what it taught me is that I should not forget my journey. Why? Because they're going to come a time where they're going to start their own families. And God, you know, hopefully I've done a great enough job where at least they want to spend time with you on the holidays. But right now, at the point they're at in their life, their most important thing is their friends. You see what I'm saying? Who's around them? You know, they're learning valuable lessons. And, you know, you're not as cool as you was when they were younger. You know, at least that they say. You just don't know. I'm just the coolest dad there ever was. So I don't care what nobody say. I claim that. I own that. But the point I'm trying to get to, Christy, is this. I hear a lot of people stop their lives for their kids. They stop their lives for their husband. They stop their lives for their wives. And then you realize that you're cheating yourself. Your wife has her own journey. Your husband has his own journey. Your kids have their own journey, which means you have your own journey too. You can ride together, but you can't stop your life from doing what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen. And as much as it may feel, there's going to come a day when my kids are going to be like, Bobby, I ain't got no time to see you. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to have to respect that. Not because they don't or whatever. It's just that they will have their own lives. You know, hopefully I've built a big enough bond and relationship where they want to spend some of the time. But you know what I mean? When we got out of the house, you know what I mean? I didn't want to chill with my mama. I love her to death. But I ain't want to chill. You know what I mean? I'll go visit, whatever. But I had my dreams, you know, and that meant moving to New York. It meant establishing who I am right now. You understand what I'm saying? And never forget that you are a spiritual being having a human experience, each and every one of you. And you have a journey to do. You cannot take people with you on the journey. You can invite them to the house, but the journey is your journey. I see it time and time again every day. You know, people are waiting on their homies to ride with them. They're waiting on their homies to grow with them. They're waiting on their homies to win with them. You know, if your homie is struggling, I can guarantee you're probably struggling too. I can guarantee you that. If your homie hasn't gotten to that 7-figure point, 8-figure, 9-figure that you want to get to, there ain't no way you gonna help them get there if you haven't got there either. You see what I'm saying? Exposure, Christy, is the key. That's what I've learned. You have to get around people that think so much bigger than you. You know what I mean? I'll tell you this little story before we get out of here. You know, I was in a room with a bunch of billionaires. You see what I'm saying? The conversations that was in this room was bananas. You know, they wasn't talking about buying a home. They were talking about building neighborhoods. They were talking about developing the biggest skyscrapers. They were talking about not flying on a plane, but buying an airlines. You see what I'm saying? They were talking about development in such a mega attitude and magnitude, excuse me, that it just blew my mind. You know, there was one of the billionaires in there. This dude is so obsessed. I'm not going to say no names, but this dude is so obsessed with space. It was like, you know, he wants to build the first neighborhood on the moon. Just like, okay. All righty. Then. You know what I mean? But, you know, how many of your friends are talking about building the neighborhood on the moon? They still trying to build the neighborhood where they're at. So I want to leave you with this. First and foremost, before you start doing anything, ladies and gentlemen, buy the neighborhood. You know what I mean? If you like getting your hand and nails done, why don't you invest in a nail shop in your area, in your community, and build that? You understand what I'm saying? There's so many things that you can do. If you love eating tacos, hamburgers, or whatever, won't you open up a food joint in your neighborhood? You begin to buy the neighborhood. Then you buy the state. Then you buy the country. You see what I'm saying? And what I mean, meaning I say buy, meaning develop. You know what I mean? That's how true wealth is created. It's not created on, let me get as much money as I can and let me spend it out. You know what I mean? Because there's always somebody that will take your money from you as long as you are offering it to them. But you got to change more than that mindset. You got to change your environment. You got to change your friend. I'd rather have 4 or 5 people that think so big than to have 1 million people that like me on the internet. Because those 4 or 5 people will change things in this world that those 1 million people will never do. Somebody has built that skyscraper that's in your, everybody that's listening to this program today. Somebody, you go downtown and go to your rich areas, somebody had an idea of that building, that major skyscraper that's down there. You know what I mean? Somebody, you know, just, it was less than what, 10 to 20 years ago, that Dubai was a desert. Now it's one of the richest places in the world as it's being developed. Why? Because the Sheikh over there had one idea, and he said he wanted to be the tourist spot of the world. He wants everybody to come to spend their money in Dubai. And I'll be doggone it if it ain't working. You see what I'm saying? So you got to think big. You got to get around those people that inspire you, man, that inspire you to do things so big. When I was in that room and I walked out, I honestly felt like I can fly. Thank goodness I didn't jump out the window, because I felt like I was Superman. After hearing these people, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, Christy, after hearing these people talk in this conversation, we was in there for like 2 hours, and it was the most inspiring 2 hours. And I mean, when you know, you're talking about building neighborhoods on the moon, you see what I'm saying? One of the guy was talking about, you know, he wants to go to I'm not going to give his idea away, but he wants to go to a certain city and, you know, and buy the entire city and redevelop it, you know, into a business capital of the world. And he's already got it pointed out, planned out, how much money it's going to take. These billionaires were not talking about, they was talking about trillions of dollars and just being able to be in there, absorb. I was like, wow. I'm telling you, if I had was able to get out that one, I would have put a cape on and flew down, because I felt like Superman, like somebody had gave me kryptonite, like this stuff is possible. See, the problem is, Christy, you don't hear these conversations on a regular. So you don't believe that they are possible. You know what I mean? That's why I'm very, very, very picky about who I allow into my inner circle. I keep a lot of people on the outer part, but I don't let them on the inner, because a lot of them are not prepared for what is actually on the inside. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does.
I think I better shut up, because I keep talking, and we already passed our time. So,
yep, you will. I love it. So, I know that the listeners have enjoyed this, Mr. Randall. Thank you so much. And again, you can listen to this on BashaniRadio.com. This is Bashani Magazine. Your host, special host for today, Christy Rutherford, bringing Mr. Benny Randall to this magazine. We know you loved it. Check it out and send it to your friends. Take care, everyone.
Alrighty. And just in case you didn't, Christy didn't let me say, but you can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com or at BennyOnDemand.com or at BashaniRadio.com. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.